chapter 6. As a pastor, often I have been asked, Pastor, how can I pray for you? How can I pray for you? And I think that's very good because people are concerned and interested. As a matter of fact, just a couple of weeks ago, I had someone to ask me that very same question. And as I thought about that and the things that we can look at, each time I would direct them to what Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. Because here he charged them to be watchful with supplication for all the saints, as he talks about, and for me, that utterance may be given me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel or the good news. The people, as we think about people, how you can pray for your pastor, and his brother IB is gone. I think this is kind of timely that fits into him being gone and how we can remember and how we can pray for our pastor. And the thing that I want us to understand is Paul's admonition to prayer and what he would have us to know and to understand about the seriousness of the matter of prayer. I believe today, as never before, we need to realize as a people, as the people of God, that if there's anything that's going to change the circumstances of our world today, it is going to be God's people praying, seeking what God wants in their life personally, and then also the church collectively as they pray and seek what God wants in their lives as a group of believers. And I cannot say emphatically enough that I believe that a church that is a praying church is a church that is on the move for God, because we're seeking to know the will and the purpose of God. And as we think about what Paul is relating here and what he's saying, there are some things that we can gain from this passage, and I pray that we will take them to heart. And as we think about praying, and as I said a while ago, I believe that it is the most important thing in our life as a child of God, as we on our knees and we find ourselves not just on our knees physically, but on our knees as we bow before God with our heart and we seek what God wants in our life. I heard a lady say not long ago, one of the things in her own life personally was that many years ago, as she began to pray and to seek God's will, and as she had her prayer list and she wrote out many of those prayers, and she would see how God moved in the circumstances of her life and her family's life and the life of the church. And so many times, as we looked at the Sunday school lesson this morning, after we see those things happen, we do not thank God the way that we should. And the psalmist there said this morning, If there's anybody that's going to thank God for what's happened and transpired in their life, it ought to be those who are the redeemed of God, those who have come to recognize and understand His work and purpose in their life, and they come to know what it means to give thanks to God and to pray Him, thanking Him for all those things. So this morning, as we look together at this passage, I'd ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word and remain standing for prayer as we look together in the book of Ephesians, the sixth chapter. I want to start in verse 18 and read through verse 24, the remainder of the chapter. Starting in verse 18, excuse me. He says, and this is after Paul has described the putting on the things, the armor of God. And then in closing, he says in verse 18, he says, praying always. Did you catch that? It didn't say praying sometimes or praying this day and to forget tomorrow. It says praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for some of the saints, for all saints, and for me, Paul is saying now personally, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye also may know my affairs, and how that I do Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith. Boy, that's a couplet, isn't it there? Love with faith. From God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Let's pray together. Eternal God, as we bow before you this morning, we come to you with grateful hearts. Grateful, Lord, for the privilege we have today to come into this place that is appointed place of worship. And we come for that purpose and that purpose alone, and that is to worship a holy God, one who knows us from the inside out, from the beginning to the end. One who knows everything there is to know about us, knows even the hairs of our head that they're numbered, knows the hole we've got in our socks. God, we come to you thanking you. Thanking you for being near and dear to us and to know us. And Lord, this morning as we come, we pray, oh God, that you would just speak to our hearts from your word and help us to know and to recognize and to understand what we are to be about as your children, as your people. And I pray, Lord, this morning that you, through your infinite wisdom and mercy, would do that which you see needs to be done in each of our lives, starting here in this pulpit, Lord, and going throughout these pews here today. Father, I come to you. I come to you asking you, Lord, once again to anoint these lips of clay, God, and speak through them the truth of your word, the unsearchable riches in the truth of your word, because it's through the preaching of the word that your children, your people are drawn to you and to each other. And I ask, Lord, today that you'd also bless and be with those that are less fortunate than we. There are so many that's on our prayer list, Lord, that are going through the circumstances of life that seemingly just everything is caving in on them and around them. Those that are suffering because of illness and disease and problems in their life. Lord, I just pray that you would minister to each one as only you can. You know each of our hearts here today. You know the unspoken request on our hearts because you know all there is to know about us. And I pray, oh God, that you'd help us as your people to learn to trust you. And as your word says, to totally, unreservedly deposit all our cares upon you because you care for us. Lord, do that which only you can to do today. And we'll thank you and praise you for it. For we ask it in Jesus' name for his sake that he will be honored and glorified. We ask it for his glory. Amen. Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, and I believe this is one of Paul's, one of the churches that he looked at and admired a bunch because of their stand for Jesus Christ, because of their witness for Jesus Christ, because of their encouragement and encouraging one another in Jesus Christ. And here in this passage of Scripture, I want us to look at what it means to be able to pray for your pastor or the leader in your church. And then I think as we see this, first of all, there's the freedom to declare the Word of God. When I say the freedom to declare the Word of God, I mean that we need to realize that there's more than just standing up in a class or standing behind a pulpit and presenting and preaching a message. I remember reading a story about the church that met together, the men that met together before the service, and they met with the pastor and they prayed with the pastor, and one of these older men in the prayer group, he kept praying and saying, Lord, give him unction, Lord, give him unction, Lord, give him unction. And one of the men in there just got tired of it, and he finally got him on the outside. He says, I want you to tell me what unction is. He says, I cannot describe or define unction, but I can tell when he's got it and when he ain't. And let me tell you something, the preacher can tell too when he's got it and when he ain't. That's what Paul is saying here, that utterance may be given. That means the freedom to declare the Word of God, that utterance may be given. While the pastor may not know how to define or even to articulate what unction is, he certainly knows when he does not have it and when he does. And when you stand behind the pulpit before people that are coming to hear from God, we need to realize, and I need to realize, and Brother Ibe needs to realize, any preacher needs to realize that we're standing as the messenger of God to relate the Word of God, the message of God, to a people that stands in need. And this is one of the most humbling things in my life, is to recognize that I stand as a messenger before God to relate His message to you. And when we understand what God would have us to do, you need to be praying that He'll have the freedom, He have freedom to declare and to deliver the Word of God. This is one of the most important things in life, as He stands as a channel, I guess we could say, to relate the Word of God and to make the Word of God known to you. That is one of the most important things, is you can pray for him. Pray that God would give him the freedom to declare, "Thus saith the Lord God," because that's what's going to change the world. That's what's going to change people when they come to grips with the Word of God and allow the Word of God to just captivate their lives and take a hold of their heartstrings and move in their circumstances of their life. And time again, I've seen people who responded to God's Word, and because of their faith in God and their trust in God, we see how God worked in their lives and changed the circumstances many times because of their willingness to trust what God had for them. So you need to pray for your pastor. You need to pray that he'll have freedom to declare the Word of God, or to deliver the Word of God. The second thing you need to pray for is that there he will have a fearlessness in the delivery of the Word of God. He says, Paul says here, that I may open my mouth boldly. There's all sorts of pressure upon a preacher today. I mean, there's all signs of things, you know, just to back off and just kind of let things go like they go. And just don't worry about, don't try to confront things. And sometimes those confrontational issues, and sometimes those controversial issues, are some of those things that maybe you just do not want to make known, or you do not want to present, or you do not even want to preach. But let me tell you something: if we're true to the Word of God, we must declare those things. We must have fearlessness to deliver the Word of God. Paul uses a term here. He says that I may open my mouth boldly. The term there, boldly, if we take it out of the context of the Greek and what it is there, it means unashamedly, unapologetically to proclaim and to speak the Word of God. In other words, you cannot be ashamed. You cannot take it from a standpoint that I'll do it if I want to. We must take it and look at it from the standpoint of being faithful to God's Word. The true preacher of the gospel must be fearless in the defense of the gospel message. But he also must recognize that he cannot do it in and of himself. That's why your prayers is important. I can assure you, because I stand behind the sacred desk and I recognize when people are praying for you and when they are not. Let me tell you, one of the most important things in your life for your pastor is to pray for him. To pray for him. Because let me tell you something, I do not have a message, and IB does not have a message. Brother Darrell can tell you he did not have a message. If it's not of God, we do not need to be behind this pulpit to proclaim it. Sometimes I want to get up here and I want to get on my little box, you know, and I want to say what Marshall Dixon won't say, but that is not what God wants. And we must be honest with ourselves as we stand behind this sacred desk to proclaim the Word of God, and we must do it in fearlessness for the Word of God and present it boldly, as Paul says here, without unapologetic. We must paint it with every aspect and fiber of our being to relate the truth of the Word of God, to recognize and understand the defense of the Word of God. We don't have to defend the Word of God. We need to declare the Word of God, because let me tell you something, the Word of God will defend itself, and that's why it's so important to be fearless in proclaiming and relating and sharing the Word of God today. Today, if I had to ask you for a show of hands, how many of you prayed for the service today? How many would hold their hands up? How many would say, I spent time from last week all through this week praying that God would give me, or whoever behind this desk, whoever the preacher may be, if you're here, you're visiting, for your preacher to preach the Word of God, to preach a message that God can speak to you out of that. I believe, listen to me, this is what Marshall Dixon believes. This is his kind of theology. I believe that a person does not spend time in prayer asking God to give that man that stands behind that desk the message that I need to hear. We're saying to God, God, I could care less what you have to say to me. I don't want to hear from you, God, in other words. I'll come to church and I'll do my thing, and then I'll go home and I'll do like I want to. But when we come to a worship service and we come and join together for the purpose of worship, we should have already prayed and saturated this time that we share together in prayer. And then we're saying, Lord, I submit myself to you because I want you, God, to speak to my heart. You know what I need. You know what I'm going to face this week. And you know what I need to help me and sustain me to get me through this week. When we truly recognize that in and of ourselves, and listen to me closely, when we come to grips with realize that in and of ourselves, we can do nothing. I believe that's what Jesus said there in John the 15th chapter, did he not? He says, without me and apart from me, you can do nothing. We need to understand, and this is just observation as a pastor over the years. I have seen and I have witnessed people who call themselves Christian literally dry up as a believer. I mean literally dry up and become like a prune, if you please, as a believer, because they will not respond to the Word of God. They're not obedient to the Word of God. They could care less about the worship of God. And because of that, they literally dry up on the stem because they're not in the godly things. A person who is a Christian, and listen to me, I believe that we need to spend time in the Word of God, and as we come to hear the Word of God, we need to pray that God would just breathe into that person's life that which I need to hear. So there's a fearlessness in the delivery of the Word of God, that I may open my mouth boldly without any apology, without anything. Finally, the people should pray for the pastor. That third thing is that they should be faithful of the details of the Word of God. When I say the details of the Word of God, the Bible talks a lot about doctrines of the Word of God, the true teaching of the Word of God, the things really that change and transform lives. When we understand the Word of God and we take it from the perspective of hearing the Word of God, and not only hearing the Word of God, but heeding the Word of God, then great things can happen in our life. To make known, he says, to make known the mysteries of the gospel. Not that the gospel from standpoint is some myth or some mythical story, but what Paul is relating there is there's a process in the aspect of coming to know and to grips with the Word of God. You go back to the creation. You look at God. God is a God of a process. We know the greatness of who he is, that he could have spoke everything into existence just like that, and it all been there. But he took it in a process, in a day-by-day routine, and he worked in the circumstances of that. And he wants us to understand that God is a God of process, and that's what he wants to work within your life and my life, is he has a progressive process available to us if we'll only avail ourselves to him and we'll look to him and trust him for what he wants to do in our life. I'll guarantee you, if you're a child of God today, if you've been faithful in the Word of God, you're farther along in your Christian pilgrimage and farther along in knowing what the Word of God says and teaches you than you were several years ago. If you're not, there's something wrong. I've said this before and I'll say it again. If we are not growing in the things of God, if we're not growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Word of God, if we're not growing in the things of God, if our life does not become more spiritual every day, we have somewhere along the line blocked the progress and process of what God wants to work in our life. And we are backslidden. You can call it what you want to. Ouch, oh me, that's free. To make known the mysteries of the gospel. The mysteries of the gospel is a sacred secret. Listen to me. A sacred secret. A mystery which the pastor must be faithful in making known to his people. Known to his people. That's why he must spend time in prayer. That's why he must seek the will of God. Not what he wants to say, not what he wants to preach, but to be faithful in preaching what God would have him to preach. And therefore, that's why you need to pray for him. That's why you need to spend that time praying for him that he would seek the will in the face of God. How better to pray for your pastor than to pray for freedom. 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 That utterance may be given to him. Faithfulness. That he may open his mouth boldly, unashamedly, unreservedly. And the term there also carries with it, not from a standpoint of condemnation either. The term, and I cannot think of the term right now to save my life, but it's a term that you do not speak the word down, or you do not try to lambast or beat somebody with the word of God. So many times I've seen people who tried to witness to others, they took the word of God and they literally beat them half to death with it. But that's not our job. We are to unashamedly present the Word of God, and then you leave the Holy Spirit to work in that person's life to make known that Word of God, or the Word that which God you've laid to, or you spoke to them or related to them, and you allow God to work in the circumstance of that, and He'll do the convicting. And I got news for you: He'll also do the saving as well. I mean. When we understand God's progress as a witness, it's kind of like Dr. Bill Bright says, as you present the Word of God and then you leave the results to God and allow the Holy Spirit to work in the circumstance of that person's life. That's what it's all about. That's what a faithful witness is and what he does. So we're to relate that Word of God, the faithfulness of the doctrine, the details of the Word of God. That's how we're to pray. Pray for them that they may understand that. I thought about untold members of families in church in my lifetime where the children, I've had the children even say, "Preacher, I've been praying for you." That is the most humbling thing in my life that I can know of, is to know that a child, and I had one to write me a note or a card and give to me and related to me that how he had been praying for me. And I look back and I see how God was working in the circumstances of that. So you never know, and you never can start early enough, children, to begin to pray for your pastor. But there's a final thing. See, in that prayer and in those praying for you, see what it does? It encourages me. It inspires me to continue in the ministry he's called me into, not to give up hope and to keep on keeping on. I believe that's what Paul is relating there. Then there's also the fourth thing, and that is the finality of the defense of the Word of God. Turn to Jude 3 just a moment. The little book of Jude, chapter 3, closing. When we say defense of the Word, what do I mean? Jude is only just one chapter, but verse 3 it says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation," in other words, what Jude was going to do, he was going to go through explaining the common salvation, what common salvation was of coming to know Jesus Christ. Look what he says, "It was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Why? Why? "For there are certain men crept unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believe not." There's an aspect there of salvation. So you say, well, take that verse there, say, well, you can lose your salvation. That's not what God's talking about there. What Paul is relating there is God delivered the children of Israel out of bondage, and he did. He delivered them out of bondage, but those who did not respond to God with a complete faith and trust in God, we know that along the way, along those 40 years wandering, God literally wiped them off the map. Because they did not believe. When we think about what Paul is relating here, Paul's whole scope here was about the defense of the Word, about the being obedient to relate the Word of God, to share the Word of God, to tell the Word of God, to trust the Word of God, if you please. Because, see, that's what it's all about, the Christian life, is learning how to trust God in what He says. That's why it's important that you pray for your preacher, that he can bring about the aspect of the defense of the Word of God. Paul's swan song to those in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Turn there with me just a moment. 2 Timothy 4. You know this, what he closes. This is considered his swan song because of his willingness to face the peril of the gospel from a standpoint of being put to death for it. In 2 Timothy, not 2 Thessalonians, 2 Timothy. chapter 4. Look what he says there. He says in verse 6, he says, "For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand." Paul is saying, I see it on the horizon. I know what they're going to do to me. But he says, look what he says in verse 7. He says, "I have fought a good fight. I have fought a good fight. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course." Finished his course. What God had laid out for him. Look what he says. "I have kept the faith." In other words, he has not wavered from a standpoint of not trusting God, is what he's saying there. Verse 8 says, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness," that is to the faithful witness, "which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day." The day when? He says, look what he says. "And not to me only, but unto all them also that does what? Love his appearing." Let me ask you something. Do you love his appearing? Are you looking forward to his appearing? Are you ready for his appearing? Let me tell you something. You cannot love his appearing if you're not ready for it. You cannot understand what Paul was relating there when he says, "and those who love his appearing." Because, see, if we're not ready to meet him face to face, we cannot say that we love him the way that we ought to love him. When we come to the realization of what it is, the finality of the offense of God, it boils down to this: are we ready to meet him? The defense of the Word of God. Do we love him? Do we understand how that we are to love him? I know we stand up and we sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me." But then my Jesus said that if we love him, we'll love our neighbor as we love him. Puts it a different perspective, doesn't it? The aspect of loving Jesus is how we allow him to love others through us. And see, this is what the Christian life is all about, is allowing, if you please, the very love of God through Jesus Christ to captivate, to take control of our life, and then for our life to be a vessel or be a signboard of love and show love to others we come in contact with. That's why Paul closed there with what he says, "for those who love his appearing." Let me ask you the question, are you ready for him today? If today you faced him today, would you be ready for him? If not, I'll assure you that you can be, by simply realizing that in and of yourselves you cannot save yourself. Salvation is a gift of God. And when we come to recognize that we cannot save ourselves and that Jesus made possible salvation for everyone who will trust him, then as you come to him and you trust him and allow him to be Lord of your life, you can know what salvation is all about. You can be ready to meet him here or there, whatever. Today, do you know him? How do you pray for your preacher? As Paul said here, pray that he will have the utterance to share and to relate the Word of God, to stand bold and to proclaim, fearlessness to do that, and a whole scope of life, of preaching, that can be different. When every person who is a member of the church begin to pray for their preacher the way that God would have them to. Let's pray together. Father, we are indeed grateful to you today for the privilege of prayer. And Lord, we are admonished to pray always. Always. That means to be in a spirit and an attitude of prayer. To be in an open channel that you can speak to us and we can hear you speak to us. Not some one-sided conversation where we pour our petitions out to you and we close up and say amen. But where we're open, Lord, for you to speak to our heart and to direct our thinking as we meditate on what you'd have us to be about as a person. Lord, today, I don't know how you could use the message, but I know you laid it on my heart. And I pray, Lord, today that you would just help us to recognize the seriousness of this matter of prayer and the seriousness of this matter of preaching and standing behind a sacred desk to proclaim the Word of God. I cannot express to this people the seriousness of that. I cannot tell them the significance of that. Only God, you can lay that on their heart. And I pray, Lord, that we will respond to you as only you would have us to, in the strong and powerful and saving name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and for his glory alone. Amen.